Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
It is the will of God to heal me. Somebody might say, well, I'm not sick. Well, you need to praise God for that, because I'm going to tell you what. If you're not sick, it's not the devil's fault. It's God's blessing that you're not sick, and you ought to praise God every day for your health and your extension of life. And so the goal is, not just the goal of this service, but the goal is not to die. We're not saying if you will obey everything I'm going to teach in all of these sessions, you'll never die. That is not even the goal, is not to die. The goal is to live long on the earth and to live a productive, fulfilling lifestyle until we go to see Jesus. That's what we're talking about. You know, it's not really great to have a lifestyle that is unfulfilling, where you're in a lot of pain and all of that. And so when we talk about, you know, God healing us, and it is the will of God to heal me, we're not talking about dying, not ever dying. We're talking about living, and living productively and abundantly and fulfilled until we see Jesus face to face. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 25. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. They got more than they asked for. They brought him to Jesus and said, just touch him. Oh, he was going to do a whole lot more than that. When you really encounter Christ, you're always going to get more than you ask for. He is a God of abundance. He is a God of over the top. He's a God of more than enough. You may be seated. Before I get started, 2 weeks ago Sunday, I felt to give $250 to debt relief. You see, that's we passed the buckets in here twice during a service. But you're not pressured to give anything in any of them. We teach you the Word of God. Ultimately, the decision is yours. And so what I say is, we don't give you any pressure, but we give you a lot of opportunities. And so that's what they're saying. 2 weeks ago, I felt to give $250, not in the regular, but to debt relief. That's a gold envelope. The following day, my truck was stolen. That's probably a response to that. The devil probably got mad because they gave the $250. Oh, don't clap yet. The Lord not only blessed us, we got our truck back, but we were blessed with 10 times what we gave. In other words, they got their truck back at $2,500. That's not a bad week. Praise God. You have a week like that, every week you can call in healed. Not sick, but healed, praise God. Say, I'm not coming to work. I'm too healthy to come to work. I'm going to go out to the beach and just run around. I'm so healthy, I can't stand to sit behind that desk today. I'm healed. I'm not coming in. That would shock your boss one time, wouldn't it? If you called him, said, Doc, I said, boss, I'm not coming in today, I'm healed. He said, what? Said, I'm healed. Said, if I was sick, I'd come in there and drag around. But man, I'm just feeling too good to work. That's crazy talk. Hallelujah. All right. They brought this man to Jesus, and he was blind, and they said, please touch him. You know, we've talked in the past about things that keep us from receiving our healing, because I believe it is the will of God. There's so many things, principles I want you to buy into, to reach out and take appropriate into your life. And what I'm doing, I'm writing a book as I go. I'm going to finish. I'm going to teach the rest of this on Wednesday nights in the month of June, but I'll try to insert them other places and other services, because I've got so much more information. And so I want you to appropriate these. But the number one thing that you really have to get out, and it's because you got that handed down by tradition and worship, you probably got it from your church, that sickness is sometimes the will of God to get your attention, to discipline you, and bring you in line. You've got to get that out of your mind. That's not a principle of God. That is a traditional teaching that's just not true. It's an easy thing to grasp, but it's not true. Because if you believe that, it's very difficult to be healed. You know, if I went to a doctor and I said, I'm just coming in for my checkup, and he made me sick, and I realized that he was the one that made me sick, I would probably not go back to that same doctor. Same thing. If you say, well, the Lord made me sick to get my attention, then you're going to go back to that same God. It really makes receiving healing very difficult. And so you've got to realize that God is a good God, not half the time, but all the time. He is a healing God all the time. It is the will of God to heal you all the time, not just some of the time. Not when you write big checks, not when you don't miss a Sunday for 52 weeks. No, all the time, it is the will of God to heal you. And you got to get that in your spirit. Get it in your mind, as a man thinketh in his heart. So get it in your spirit. Get it in your thought process. But one of the real problems that we have in being healed, and I've said, why aren't more people healed? Because it's God's promise. The pride, listen to this verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life is a real enemy to spiritual people. The pride of life is a stubborn opponent of healing. Why is that? If you know people that are very strong, fleshly, strong-minded, self-dependent, especially men that are robust and tall and strong and they work out, they like to brag about, I just never go to the doctor. Let me tell you something right now, what I think of that. With the advancements of medical science, I think that's absolutely stupid. Medical science is so advanced that most things, if they're detected early, can be cured. But it is kind of a pride that says, well, I just don't want to go to the doctor because I'm too robust. I'm too strong for that. It's that same pride of life that keeps people from appealing to Jesus Christ to give them divine health. And when they realize they've got a pain, a sickness, a promise, a problem, a malfunction, a disease, to immediately go to Jesus Christ. I said this earlier, that fear, normally, when you get a diagnosis from a doctor or you get a symptom as a pain, that fear normally gets in the first punch. But now that people that are spiritual, that's not necessarily true. Those of us that are in daily warfare, fear does not get that first punch. We're already on our toes, praise God. And as it comes in, we're coming back offensively with what we know, the principles and the Word of God. So we're talking about a God that is able and willing. That's the two things you got to think about God. I did a deal about this talking about the leper. He said, if you're willing, Lord. He didn't say if you're able. He knew that God was able, but he said, if you're willing. You got to get that out of your mind that maybe God's not willing. I think he's proved it. The Lord has proved it. When you go and die on a cross and you're the creator of the universe and you could have called 10,000 angels, but you said, no, angels don't come. I'm going to die. And I took these stripes. He's already proven, praise God, that it is his will to heal you. And so you need to understand that God's will is to heal you. And so when you begin to appeal to God, just appeal to him on what you know. This is your will. I'm not asking you, God, for some aberration of your nature. This is your nature, God. Your nature is a healing nature, a creative nature. You say, well, I got a bad kidney. But his nature is a creator. He has a creative nature. That means he can create a new kidney. He can create a new lung. He can create a new brain. Well, some of us need that even if we don't have any sickness in it. It's just not as good as it could be, apparently, from the decisions that people make all the time. But God is a creator. And so when you realize that, you have to be able to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. But I talked about this the other day in just passing. that in the book of Romans, it talks about in the last days, people will make a God in their own image. And the God they will make is what? It will be one that is politically correct. If you're looking for a politically correct God, Jesus ain't it. It ain't him. And so this is an amazing story. They came and said, would you just reach out and touch us and let us go back to our business? And we're going to take him home healed, if you don't mind. But let's don't make a big, just touch him, just a little touch and go. Here's what we're looking for. And so the critics of Jesus were already offended and critical of Jesus' miraculous ministry. But now he has sunk to a new low. When you read this story, he is literally giving them the stick to beat him with, the ammunition they need, because he don't just reach out and touch the man. He spits in the man's face. Wow. When you've got enemies that are making all kinds of accusations and you behave like that, they are overjoyed. This is exactly the material we needed to speak against him and convince people that he's what we say that he is. But when you're desperately ill and fighting to live, the treatment becomes inconsequential. As long as I can live, the indignities of modern science are many and varied and acute. But if we are fighting for our life, we do not care if we are promised life. Many of the hideous past, the hideous practices of past medical science have long ago been abandoned. George Washington, our first president, was literally killed by his doctors. He had strep throat, but they drained his blood out of his body and literally killed him. He died prematurely at 67. He would have been on an outpatient basis right over at the clinic. Went home, and 2 days, he'd been back up signing papers. But that's how antiquated that medical science was at that time. But I was just amazed. I used to read about this, and I always thought, man, that's so strange. But I read a lot about medicine and healing, and I always thought, man, when they put leeches on people, I thought, oh, that's the worst thing. I can't believe they're crazy they would do that. And then I read the other day in a medical journal, that is an ongoing practice today and very successful. You say, I don't want no leeches on me. Oh, yes, you do. You married him. I'm just kidding. Most of us got several leeches in our life. We're not married to, but they're at work and here and there, and in-laws. You know who they are. You know what I'm talking about. That's not the kind of leeches I'm talking about here. But not only are they using leeches today in medical science, they're using maggots. On certain types of wounds that won't heal, they found out this is very productive, and it just takes a day or two for it to have its effect. And then the maggots are gone, and then the leeches are gone. Wouldn't you like for your doctor to come in and say, look, if you don't mind, we're going to put a few leeches on you, and if that don't work, we're going to pull them off and put the maggots on you. You wouldn't like that unless he said, if we don't do that, you're going to die. But if we do that, 48 hours, you're going to be bowling. You say, okay, I can endure it for a little while to get the result that I want. But here was this man from ancient Bethsaida, and he needed a real miracle. You know what the word Bethsaida means? It's really a neat deal. It describes, I wish that I had this when I was 20-some years old, preaching so much to the hippies in Austin, because this applies to them so well. The word Bethsaida means the house of the hunt. Those hippies, they really didn't want to find anything. They wanted a hunt. The pursuit was more important to those people in the 70s than it was finding. When they found something, they kind of said, oh, man, now the hunt is over. And they enjoyed that hunt. They was always on a trip, LSD and psychology and studies, and they were students, always on that hunt. And a lot of people are that way spiritually. Now, I'm not that way. I like the prize. Some people just like the Cracker Jacks. Boy, when I was a little boy, I ate those Cracker Jacks as quick as I could. I wanted that toy in that bottom of that box. It was so important that I get that plastic ring or whatever it was they had in there. I didn't enjoy I enjoyed arriving, and I'm still that way. I praise God that God does not just tantalize me and tease me and never ever fulfill, but I found Him to be a fulfilling God. I found Him to be a healing God. So many people live and die without ever escaping the confinement of Bethsaida. They live in the house of Hunt all of their life. They're dissatisfied with their lot in life, and their life never, ever becomes fulfilling. That's not me, and I don't believe that's the will of God. He wants to give you abundance. Worse yet, they're miserable, unable to fulfill their pursuit of happiness. They live and die in that small perimeter of their unfulfilled dream for more. And they many times never even vocalize their sadness. They just live there. The blind man of Bethsaida was different. His season of discontentment was grievous. He could not help, but he let it be known that he was not satisfied to stay as he was. And many people never get healed because they're satisfied in their season of discontent. They're satisfied to live in Bethsaida. But here was a man that said, I want to be sight. I want sight. I don't want to be blind no more. He knew he was known. He was not satisfied to stay as he was. He was determined to break out of the prison of blindness. And friend, we have to be that way to get our divine healing. We have to be dissatisfied with whatever it is. Say, I am not satisfied to live with this. I'm going to break out. And so I think that he convinced his friends to take him to Jesus. He had heard about it. And so they brought him to Jesus. Number one, he came to Jesus. If you want to be divinely healed, Jesus Christ is the only healer. Friend, if you really want to have power with God, you've got to slay some false gods in your life. You can't have a choir of gods. You can't have an army of gods. You've got to have one God, and the revelation of that one God is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that powerful, wonderful name. And Jesus Christ promises what? Life and abundance. That's God's promise to them. Number two, Jesus took him by the hand. There are a lot of people that come to Jesus, but they come to Jesus with their hands in their pocket. Because I promise you, if you let Jesus take your hand, He won't shake it and drop it. Jesus Christ will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will take you down paths you never walked before. This is one reason why people can't get their healing. They want to go to the doctor and get their healing, but they do not want to take their medicine. They don't want to follow the prescription. They don't want to pay the bill. There's just a lot of reasons why people go to the doctor and don't have, and there's so many reasons why people do not receive divine healing, and that's because they got their hands in their pockets. But if you want to be divinely healed, let Jesus take your hand, and He will begin to lead you. Remember, Peter wanted to walk on the water, but he began to drown. But remember what he said? Remember what happened to him when he was drowned? Jesus took him by the hand, the Bible said. And you might be drowning in pain, drowning in disease. Take your hands out of your pockets and say, I didn't come this far to just talk to you. I want to put my hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, praise God. And then I like this, the third one. Jesus led him out of town. This is another reason why so many people can't get healed. They simply won't leave town. Jesus delivered him from the house of the Hunt. He led him out of town. Why is that necessary? Because somebody that is blind becomes comfortable in their confinement as long as they stay within its perimeters. They become very acute in their memory. They know exactly how many steps it is to the refrigerator, how many steps it is to the bedroom, how many steps it is to the back door, the front door. They know all of these things. But when Jesus led him out of town, he was in totally unfamiliar territory. Let me tell you this. If you ever have a miracle in your life, it will happen in unfamiliar spiritual territory where you're having to trust in Jesus Christ. When he got out of town, he didn't dare let loose of the hand of Jesus because now he don't know where he is. Praise God. I don't have to know where I am as long as I know my hand's in His hand. Praise God. Because he knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He is so wise. He is so powerful. He is the creator of the universe. There's not a disease he's not familiar with. There's not a demon he has not defeated. There's not a pain that he has not squelched. What a God we serve. But don't take your hand and do not resist and say, no, oh, I'm pulling back. I'm not going to leave town. Oh, you've got to be willing to leave town. You've got to be willing to leave those things that are familiar. If we're to receive something, we will have to be led by God into unfamiliar places and circumstances. We are so comfortable in the familiar, regardless of how confining it is. No matter how confining it is, as long as it's familiar, we're comfortable with it. God wants to enlarge the place of our inhabitations. Two things that are taboo in any society. These two things are taboo. Never put your hands on someone without vocal or implied permission. Don't put your hands on me. That is a known deal. And we're seeing it more and more and more and more. The second thing is, in any society, not even to spit, just to spit at somebody, just at their feet. That is just the ultimate insult. And Jesus did both of those. He put his hands on him, and the Bible said Jesus spat in his eyes. Jesus did them both to the blind man of Bethsaida. He was communicating two things to this man. Number one, if you want a miracle, Jesus, you have to let Jesus put his hands on you. You have to surrender to Jesus. But if, by putting his hands on him, he was saying, I'm taking authority over you. You can't expect divine healing without relenting your authority, without surrendering your authority. By spitting on his eyes, he was saying, you must totally submit to me without question. It's the reason why some people don't like Christianity. They find it humiliating. Even back when I was a young preacher, 40 years ago over there starting, it was a big deal then. But it was just the beginning of the erosion of so many things in the church. But they started changing the hymns. And they decided they didn't want anything about the blood because it was called slaughterhouse religion. What they were saying is, we find now that Christianity in this modern society is a humiliating thing. Friend, it is that. It is humiliating to this flesh. Your flesh must submit to Jesus Christ for him to be your captain, for him to be your savior, for him to be your healer. The action of the Lord was shocking to that society and any society that Jesus would spit in his face. It's a shocking act. Nobody expected that. It was a disgraceful act to that culture and every culture known to mankind. It was much like Naaman. Remember Naaman when he went to the Jordan River? He didn't complain about the act. He complained about the river. He said Naaman was the first environmentalist. He said, this river is contaminated. He said, why didn't you let me go do this in one of my rivers at home? Because he said, Abana and Pharpar, I remembered those. That's not even my notes. That's amazing. Abana and Pharpar. He said, they're much cleaner. They're much better. He said, Jordan River is very contaminated. What he was saying is, I'm offended by that. You know that Jesus Christ is called the stumbling block of offense. You understand the Bible said, the gospel preached, the cross, is foolishness to them that perish. But to we which believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. Christ is either offensive or precious. You either love him madly or you just can't stand him. You're not mediocre about Jesus. He simply refuses to let you be. He brings you to that acute decision. Who am I? I'm either the God that you can trust or I'm a monster. I'm a God that will spit in your eyes and you'll go away with saliva dripping off your chin, or I'll spit in your eyes and you'll go off rejoicing saying, I can see for the first time in my life. Friend, I love the gospel and I love Jesus Christ, and I find it healing in every area of my life, from my billfold to my brain, from my heart to my toenails. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's either offensive or precious. Why healing in two stages? This is one of the most unique stories in the Bible, I think. Remember after he spit in his eyes. Remember this? He said, now, tell me what you can see. He said, well, I see men as trees walking. That's an improvement. Do you know that Jesus Christ did not come to improve you? He came to totally remake you. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Remember the little story Jesus told about the garment? He said, no man puts a patch on a garment or it makes the old garment look worse. There's the new material, it's bright blue, and the old material is faded. So he said, I didn't come to patch you up. I came to give you a new garment. And we know what that garment is. Put on the garment of praise. And then this garment of praise, I remember when I first started wearing suits, I was just a teenager. Well, I wore before I was a teenager. I was an old man when I was born. I used to drive up Milton in my, I had the biggest old town car you ever saw while I was still a teenager. Drive up, fill it up with gas. Back in those days, they pump. And then they always say, your dad's got a nice car. That'd make me mad. I said, this ain't my dad's. This is mine. I didn't want no hot rod. I wanted a four-door Lincoln town car when I was a teenager. I was born old. Praise God. It's kind of funny because now I'm so young. Praise God. But I remember when I went to school, my mama would put those patches on my jeans. She'd iron them on. They used to iron them because I played marbles all the time. I'd wear the, and boy, I was so embarrassed because I had them patches on. Well, God didn't patch up my life. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so when we look at this healing in two stages, and he said, I see men as trees walk. It was an improvement. God wants to do more than improve. He said, my life's better. Oh, he doesn't want to. He wants to make it brand new. You say, well, I was broke and now I got $3. God don't want you to have $3. God wants you to have more than you need. You said, man, I used to smoke 4 packs a day and now I'm down to a half a pack. No, God just wants you not to even have the desire because it'll burn your lungs up. Anything God asks you to do, it's not because he wants to deprive you of pleasure. It's because he wants to protect you from pain. Somebody write that down. Praise God. It's very important that we understand this. He is a good God all the time. And so why was it in two stages? Let's look at this for a minute. The saliva had not yet been assimilated. Assimilate, to take in, to incorporate as one's own, to absorb. Absorb is the best synonym for assimilate. The absorption had not taken place in his eyes yet. He said, well, I've been coming to church, pastor, and I'm just not there yet. Oh, no. You haven't absorbed it all in. When you absorb the word by osmosis, it comes through your pores. You literally start feeding on the word of God instead of enduring it. There's so many people that come to this church and not as bad here as most people. They endure it. They endure the service. They endure the singing. They endure the worship. They endure the word. And it has very little benefit to them. But there are many, many people on planet Earth that have assimilated. They've absorbed the word. They've absorbed the power of God. They've absorbed the life of Christ. And so it had not yet been absorbed. So we got to wait just a little bit. The saliva of Christ was everything about Jesus was healing. If he touched you, there was a healing process. If he spoke to you, there was a healing process. And believe it or not, if he spit in your face, there was a healing process. There's nothing unlovely about Jesus Christ. He is altogether lovely, the Bible said. And friend, when you lose your fear of Christ and develop that love from your life, will absorb him. It will be changed forever. So he said, do you see anything? He said, men as trees walking. You know, in saliva, in your saliva, there is a tremendous healing product called enzymes. But the other problem with your saliva and my saliva, boy, I'll tell you what, people can get excited about politicians. I don't get it. I read a book on Ronald Reagan, and this guy was such a Ronald Reagan. He said that Ronald Reagan's saliva was pure. I knew at that point I was reading a real slanted book. Just not true. Just not true. Because not only does our saliva have enzymes, it also has all the other things that are still negative about us. And so it can poison you. It could give, if you have AIDS, it could produce AIDS in the body. It can produce a flu, just all kinds of stuff. But there was nothing in Jesus but healing. And a substance produced, an enzyme is a substance produced by a living organism which acts as a catalyst to bring about a specific biochemical reaction. Why did he have to touch him again? He's waiting for that saliva to start that biochemical reaction, because everything about Jesus is healing. Everything. You see men as trees walking. He put his hands again on his eyes. The first time he put his hands on him, the second time he put his hands on his eyes. There's a distinction there. How many people in this building have ever wore contacts? You know the worst thing about contacts, they get dry on you. I still wear one. I'm about like this guy. I'm half healed. I wear one in this eye and none in this eye. I got 20/15 in this eye now. And they can fix this eye, but they said if you fix it, you're going to have to wear glasses to read. And I can read real small print now, so I sleep like it is for now. But the problem with contact lenses is they dry up. And what do? You got fake tears, you got the little water bottle, whatever you use, and you invariably look up. What did Jesus do? He touched his eyes and said, look up. Why? He wanted that saliva just to cover his eyes, because he knew the power. That even in the thing that people resist and people find despicable and humiliating, Jesus knew the power that was in his saliva. Look up, he said. It'll cover your eyes. Friend, to get divinely healed, you've got to trust him totally. You can't be afraid of him. Oh, what if I trust Jesus? Well, is he going to hurt me? You can't be like a little child. Some of you grown men, you still won't take a shot. There ain't nothing to a shot. Little bitty, those needles they got now, those things are almost invisible. You stick them in you, they don't hurt. Some of you big old guys just, wow, I can't stand a shot. You're afraid of the doctor. I ain't afraid of no doctor. But more than that, I'm not afraid of the great physician. I trust him with everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But then I got to close this. But then after he said, now what do you see? He was totally restored. And the Bible said he saw every man clearly. And that's a really good point we need to understand. You say, well, I was at church and I got prayed for and I was feeling some better, but I guess I didn't get healed. Remember this story. Maybe you're in the process. Maybe the enzymes from Jesus Christ are the catalyst, and it's just a process. You know, actually, a miracle is instant, but a healing is a process. You understand that there is a difference. And so healing sometimes takes a time element in that, and it did in this case. And so he saw every man clearly, Sister Becky. But praise God, I like what he said. Jesus said, don't go back to town. Don't go back to Bethsaida. Don't go back to the house of the hunt. You found what you were looking for. I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to be healed and restored, and when I talk about heal, I'm talking about heal from sin, sickness, disease, attitudes, whatever it is. You can't go back to where you were. You can't go back to the hunt. Those people are still hunting. They haven't found it. But when you find it, Jesus said, you've got to come out of the pack. You've got to leave the hunt. He said, don't go back. When you fully assimilate, you will distance yourself from those that won't assimilate. Those people that will not absorb Christ, that will not be a comfortable atmosphere for you. It's called loyalty to Jesus. Loyalty is an amazing quality, and it is a premium and very scarce today. People used to be much more loyal than they are today. You're loyal to your husband, loyal to your wife, loyal to your family, loyal to your school, loyal to your country, loyal to your job. If you are taking a man's check and talking bad about him, no wonder you're not blessed. I know preachers do that. They take people's tithe and then talk about them. No wonder those churches are not blessed. Something disloyal about that. Lack of loyalty is a revelation of the inward person. It shows a total absence of integrity. Jesus was demanding loyalty. Don't go back. Don't go back. Someone said recently, reputation is what people think you are. Integrity is what you are. And so we are loyal to everything around us and whatever we are, to our family. Say, oh, my daddy was sorry. He was an alcoholic. No, no. You can say my daddy was an alcoholic, but you can't say my daddy was sorry. No, no. Live long on this earth. Remember that? It said if your daddy don't drink, you need to honor him. No, that's not what it said. It said just honor him. Just honor him. Just honor him if you want to live long. This is all, you see how all this stuff is wrapped up in your health and your longevity and all of this? And so the loyalty is to concerning Christ. When you fully assimilate what others call offensive, other people call it offensive, and you receive it as precious, you will be restored. Restored. Repossess what you have lost, or what Adam lost for you. You know, a lot of your loss is not even your fault. You know what's so bad is when somebody borrows something that without your permission and then they lose it. Adam borrowed from me and didn't even get my permission and then he lost it. And so now I am being restored. I'm repossessing what Adam lost for me. And every day I'm becoming more like the first man, Adam. Because that first man Adam before he saw was something. And the way I'm becoming more like the first man Adam is how? By the second man, or what? Not, he's not the second man, the last man Adam, which is Jesus Christ. That's what he came for, was to restore me back to the original creation without all the sickness, all the disease, all the hang-ups, all the problems. That's where we are headed, praise God. I got a whole bunch more, but let's just stand right now and give the Lord some praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I hope you're assimilating. I hope you're absorbing what I'm sharing with you. Because I'm telling you, I'm sharing things that God has given me that's changing my life. I've been on a long road doing this.